Good morning. I'm sorry that we can't meet together here at the Pleasant View Church of Christ. Last week we didn't meet because of the COVID-19 virus, and it looks like we'll go without meeting for at least a few weeks longer. Our hope and prayer is to be back together by Easter. First, I want you to know that we do not like calling off worship programs or other church activities. But we're doing what we believe to be prudent for our church and for our community. Second, I want you to know that missing church for such a reason is not a sin. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." We need to listen well to those words. Yes, while it's true that not meeting at church house, we're not meeting at the church house at present. But we are not totally disconnected either. We've been keeping in contact with one another, the church family, by phone and text and emails and letters and on Facebook. It's our hope that in doing so, we've been able to encourage one another through this strange and difficult time fending off the virus. What is a sin is when an individual decides they just don't care about the body of believers anymore and choose to eliminate all contact in pursuit of selfish activities and behaviors. How long are we to encourage one another? Scripture says, until we see the day approaching. What day is that? When Jesus comes back to reclaim his own. When will that happen? We don't know. No one does, only the Father in heaven. When will the church services resume? We don't know that either. Prayerfully, it'll be on Easter. But until then, we're supposed to do what it says in Hebrews, verse 24, chapter 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's what we want to do. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we come before you on this day. The church house is empty, but we want our hearts to be full of your Spirit as we look in together here on the internet and worship together in this different fashion. May you bless our time as we lift up your word and lift up the mighty name of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray and trust. Amen. In the last sermon, we left off with the rise of nations and the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 10 and 11. We've talked about the sons of Noah, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and where their offspring may have migrated after the Lord confused the languages of mankind. We're all one race, with one common tongue, from the time of the great flood until the time, the story of Babel. Noah's family line divided in three parts, with a line of his son Shem being the key to the rest of our story and Bible history. Let's pick up. There were 10 generations from Noah to the next big name in the Bible, a man by the name of Abram, whom God would later rename Abraham. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled the land as far as the site of the great tree at Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7 says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. You have to ask yourself, why would God call Abraham to be the one to become the father of the Hebrews, also known as the Jews? Well, why did he call Noah to be the one to build the ark and become the father of those who would repopulate the earth? Because God could trust them to obey him. These men were not perfect men, but they were obedient to God's call on their lives. Let me share with you 4 points this morning. The first one, Abraham's call from God, is there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. Pack up. I want you to move across country. Leave your family behind and go." Now, many of us have done that sort of thing. We've left home to go to college, the military, to get married, or to take a new job somewhere else. But in each of those cases, we knew where we were going. What city, what state, what branch of the service, what company we were going to work for. But Abraham didn't have that information. God simply said, "Go to the land that I will show you." No directions, no map, just go. What that tells us is that Abraham had faith. It tells us that Abraham trusted God. Note, we don't see Abraham asking any questions. Why? Where? How far? How long? Question for you this morning is, how far and for how long will you trust God? That may be a good question as we wonder when we'll come back to church again with this virus thing going on. We'll ask the question, where? God will say, "Wherever I decide." Why? "Because I said so," he says. How far? Far enough. How long? Until I tell you otherwise. Do you remember riding in a car with your parents and you asked some of those questions? They may have given you some of those same vague answers, but you trusted them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Hebrews 11, 6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Faith motivates us to follow God no matter what. Some of you may remember the Al Dennison song, "I Choose to Follow." I choose to follow. I choose to let you lead. With childlike faith, I'll walk each day, knowing that you're all I need. I choose to love you because you've chosen me. Of all the things that I could choose to do, I choose to follow you. Now, here's the question. Do you trust God to drive? When I get in a vehicle, I don't like sitting in the back because I'm prone to car sickness. I like riding up front, and when possible, I prefer to be the one in the driver's seat. But when it comes to our life, we have to let God be the driver. We have to trust him. It doesn't work if Jesus is our co-pilot. He needs to be the one in control, and we need to trust and faithfully follow. Point number 2 is Abraham's promise from God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, God did sweeten the pot as he offered Abraham a blessing if he took the mission. Have you heard the saying, if there's no risk, there's no reward? There are risks and requirements in choosing to take the mission, but there are rewards too. What promises did God make? He made 4 of them to Abraham. He says, "I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And the fourth one, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Understand, that's a prophecy. He's talking about Abraham's lineage going down the road through generations until the time of Christ. This is the bloodline. It starts here. And we are blessed because through Abraham comes the Christ, our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior. Throughout the Bible, God makes promises, but there's always an obedience factor attached. It may include a little word like if. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If we obey, then he will bless. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus is talking through the whole chapter of chapter 6. He says, don't worry. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first. The good things will come. We just have to be patient, faithfully following, faithfully obeying. What about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes? That word believe isn't just an intellectual thing. It means an obedient thing. To have an obedient trust in God. To place ourselves totally in his hand. If we're willing to do that, we don't have to worry. We will not perish. Hell will not be our eternity, but heaven will be. What about Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized, Peter said to the crowd on the day when they said, what should we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are things that we need to do, that obedience factor. Repenting first, turning away from sin, being immersed in water as an act of faith to have our sins washed away. And it's there through that faith act that salvation is rendered unto us. God's rewards will always be worth the cost of our obedience. Remember the old Missions Impossible TV show? At the beginning, there's this mysterious tape player that gives Jim the directions for the next team mission. Remember the phrase? If you choose to accept this mission, Abram chose to take on the mission, and we're glad that he did. Brings us to point number three, Abraham's obedience to God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, so Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. Did you catch that? So Abram left as the Lord told him. That's how we're supposed to be. He says, come follow me, and we just obey. We don't know all the ifs, ands, and buts, where we're going, how long, those things, but it's obedience. No discussion, no questions, no excuses, no bartering, just obedience. What else should we catch here? It says next, Abraham was 75 years old. There's no age limit on following God. No age limit on getting involved. The scriptures don't use the word anywhere about retiring. As long as we have breath, we need to follow Jesus and follow the word of God the way that he tells us to. Chapter 11, verse 31 says, Abraham's dad, Terah, says, together they set out from Ur and the Chaldees to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, if you have your map from last week's sermon, or if you downloaded today's notes off of our website, you can look at the map and see where they came from and where they finally had settled.
At some point, Abram's father, Terah, moved the family from Ur all the way to this place, Haran, north in the Arabian Desert. It was a journey of about 500 miles. We don't know just when Abram's family settled there, nor for how long. But we do know that his father died at the ripe old age of 205. That's 135 years after Abram was born. However long it was, Haran is now the place that Abraham would call home. He settled there, his family is there, and he's acquired many possessions. Let's drop down to verse 5 and 6. He took his wife Sarai, who's later going to be known as Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, there were Canaanites in the land. Some of you know what it's like to move lock, stock, and barrel. Some of you have had to pack up. If not for yourselves, maybe you've had to pack up for your parents, and you've wondered, where does all this stuff come from? Abraham, 75 years old. He has family and possessions and people, probably both slaves and free men working for him, taking care of his flocks and herds and the other possessions that he has acquired through all of those years. They travel now southward another 500 years. South to the land of Canaan. Canaan's a narrow strip of land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean. Verse 6 says, at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Canaanites were the offspring of Noah's son Ham and Noah's grandson Canaan. The family line that Noah had once cursed because Ham, his son, mocked him when he lay in a drunken stupor. Obedience, following. The fourth point, Abraham's worship of God, or Abram, it's still Abram at this point. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Abraham's journey, though, was not complete. He hadn't yet unpacked everything and settled in at one spot. But he took time where he stopped in that moment to worship God. He took time to worship the God who called him, who guided him, who protected him, who prepared him to be the father and leader of nations. The question I have for you this morning is, how has God called you, guided, protected, and prepared you for the journey? Think of all the blessings. Think of all the times you felt like you didn't know what you were doing or where you were going. But you know that God was there with you by your side. In those moments, did you take time to worship Him? We're on a journey today. We're in unknown territory. The coronavirus has upset our way of life and our way of worship. But we still need to be thankful. Scripture says in the last two verses, from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram sent out and continued toward the Negev, which is Egypt. Now, even though we can't meet and assemble face-to-face, we need to be thankful. We need to worship. We need to call on the name of the Lord, too. We also need to keep moving forward in this journey of life. When will we meet again? Only the Lord knows that for sure. But we need to look forward to that day. In each day that we're home, we need to remain in His Word. We need to remain as faithful disciples, studying and learning and listening to what God has to tell us for our next step in the journey. For you and I, let's trust in Him to show us the way while we're at church together in the assembly here on the corner of Crooked Creek and 60, or whether we're still locked down in our homes trying not to get the disease or transfer it onto somebody else. God is faithful, and we need to prove ourselves faithful as well. Let's pray. Father, again, we give you the glory. We don't know the times as you do. We don't know the causes. There's all kinds of news, even fake news that's out there. Help us to simply trust in you, regardless of anything else that's going on. This is still the day you made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the praise of you and your Son, our Christ. Amen. Have a blessed day, and I hope to see you soon.